Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. It has been a while since our last update, and we plan on doing these more regularly. A novel coronavirus has been discovered in Wuhan, China, and there is quite a bit of recent developments with that. We are joined by our expert, Dr. Henry Nyman. He will go through all the latest information. Dr. Nyman, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. There's been quite a bit of developments over the weekend. On the technical front, sequences have been released or made more available. The very first sequence came out at the end of last week, and you could get it online. It had been deposited at a gene bank, but it wasn't accessible yet. And then last night, it became available. One of the advantages of sequences at gene bank is they're fully annotated, so they essentially break the sequence down and into each of the genes and translate those genes, and you can do blast searches using just the protein sequence. Unfortunately, the sequence is not yet in the database that gives results from blast searches yet. So even though it's there and you can see the full sequence and you can see how it's broken down, you can't really have it come up on a search. You can use it in a search, but you can't do it as a result. And it's kind of the same thing at GSAD. GSAD just announced over the weekend that they had five sequences. Usually GSAD is limited to influenza. They've expanded to coronaviruses, and these five sequences are the first coronavirus sequences they have. One advantage of these sequences is there's a little bit more detail currently available on the individual who provided the biological material for the sequence. There are five sequences available. They just got updated this morning as far as age and gender is concerned. Two of the sequences may be from the same person who's a 49-year-old female. Two different labs have sequenced a 49-year-old female, and it was collected on December 30th. In addition, they have the youngest sequence, a 32-year-old male, that was collected on the same day. And then they've also released the sequence that's at Gene Bank, but they let you know a little more about that sequence. It was from a 65-year-old male, and that was the earliest collection date of the sequences available. That was collected on December 24th. And then they also have a 61-year-old male that was collected on January 1st, and it's highly likely that the 61-year-old male is the only fatality. That's one of the updates. One of the patients died on Thursday, and it was announced over the weekend. So that was the first fatality. That patient did have some underlying conditions relating to liver issues and cancer, but it seems that the death was related to the infection. The patient was not doing well, had been placed on an ECMO machine, and the description of the patient sounded very, very much like the descriptions of the severe cases that were infected with the SARS coronavirus. The sequence data did confirm that this is related to the SARS coronavirus. It's most closely related to two bat sequences, both of which were isolated by the same lab, which is in Nanjing, China, which is further north and really not that far from Wuhan. So geographically, these two sequences, at least the lab. Unfortunately, the data hasn't been published, so it's not clear exactly where these two sequences came from, but they were done by the same lab in Nanjing, and the two sequences are very close to each other, and they are the most closely related sequences at GeneBank for the Wuhan virus. Of also note was one of the proteins was kind of remarkable. It was the ORF8, ORF stands for open reading frame, which is kind of what's given to reading frames that can control, can code a protein, and they're not really sure exactly what all the functions of the protein are. The protein that's made by ORF8 in this virus is 121 amino acids in length. And it was quite remarkable that if you looked at the protein level, the this protein in the virus from the human was 94% identical to the virus in the bat sequence. And the next highest was, were actually some other bat sequences, more from southern China, but they were only, they were all less than 60%. They were in the 50s or 40s. 50s and 40s is pretty low, especially at the protein level, in contrast to 94%. So that piece of data really points pretty strongly to some activity with probably the species that's harboring these SARS-like sequences are in northern China as opposed to the ones that were closest to SARS, which were in southern China. There have been a paper came out a couple of years ago on a large number of bat sequences that were isolated in southern China. And even though this is related to them, it's really not nearly as close as it is to the virus in the two viruses in Nanjing. After those two viruses, though, if you blast the entire sequence, it is related to the SARS sequences, and it's the closest match actually were the SARS sequences that came from humans in the second outbreak, not the initial one that was most widely reported, but the following fall, a new virus was popping up, and there was a very aggressive culling, and that got that virus under control, and there has not been a confirmed case prior to this current outbreak. So that's kind of what things look like on the sequence front. As far as the severity of the outbreak and the similarities to the earlier SARS virus, over the, or this morning it was really announced, or right around midnight, I guess, Eastern time, that one of the patients, travelers that had been picked up by screening at the airport, fever screening, did test positive for the Wuhan virus, or the, actually its current name is 2019 nCoV for novel coronavirus in 2019 is the year the first isolate was identified and sequenced. So that is kind of somewhat unexpected, picking up travelers, you know, identifying infected travelers using symptoms at the airport is very unusual. In the SARS outbreak, a lot of people were screened at the airport, and just a handful, if I don't know the exact count, but I know it was a very low number that were identified in spite of the fact that in that outbreak, almost a little over 8,000 people were lab confirmed, and almost 800 people died. And so it was transmitting very aggressively towards the end of the outbreak. And just as a reminder, at the beginning of the outbreak, it was the case fatality rate was markedly lower. One of the media reports that came out right after the Metropole Hotel was identified noted that prior to the series of cases that were associated with the Metropole Hotel, there had been 300 cases identified in Guangdong Province in November, December, and January. And in those 3 months, even though there were 300 cases, there were only 5 deaths. So the fatality rate initially on that virus was very low. And the Metropole Hotel was the index case was a physician who had been treating patients in Guangdong Province. He came to Hong Kong for a wedding. He was quite ill. And he checked into the Rexy Room 911 at the Metropole Hotel. He was only there for a day, but he was very sick. He vomited in the hall outside of his room, and multiple people on the ninth floor got infected. And there were other people in the hotel that also got infected. And they really spread the virus internationally. Among those initial cases, though, one woman who was 78 years old was from Toronto. She went back home and she died, as did her son. And the index case died, as did his brother. And when this media report came out, it was in the AP, and they were reporting on the fact that all of these international cases were at the Metropole Hotel, and in fact were on the ninth floor of the Metropole Hotel. And they included a businessman that went to Hanoi, three sisters that went to Singapore, the woman who died who went to Toronto, as well as at least one visitor to the hotel who visited ninth floor, actually, who caused the outbreak in Hong Kong. These people were referred to as super spreaders. It's not clear if it was because of the individual was spreading the virus very efficiently or if it was the circumstances. Like I said, the index case at the Metropole Hotel was quite sick, but he ended up vomiting in the hall, and then apparently vacuuming up the dry vomit spread the virus in the hallway of the ninth floor, and that might have contributed to several of the cases getting infected. Similarly, the person who went to Hong Kong was treated with a nebulizer, which kind of put the virus in the air, and a large number of healthcare workers, including interns that were on rounds to visit him, all got infected at, I think it was St. Margaret's Hospital in Hong Kong. And then there was another example of a case who was ill and lived at Amoy Gardens, which was a large residential housing complex. And the ventilation system in the facility managed to spread the virus that was in the air as a result of him vomiting in his own bathroom. So he vomited in his apartment, but the ventilation system allowed that virus to spread throughout the building. And there were actually 300 cases that were confirmed at the Amoy Gardens. So some of the big increases in cases were related to these incidents. Actually, there was a tour group that that flew back to Taiwan, and people on the airplane got infected, and then they kind of spread the virus dramatically in Taiwan. And as it turns out, all of these international cases in these big outbreaks all had the same 29 nucleotide deletion that was in the virus that was in the index case at the Metropole Hotel. So that turns out it is in the same open reading frame of ORF 8 that had this deletion, and that may have led to the virus becoming more efficient at transmitting in humans. And so that's kind of what the concern is with the current outbreak. There have been comments that the virus doesn't transmit very easily, and especially before this first case died, it hadn't been lethal, and that it seemed to be under control because there hadn't been any cases since January 3rd. But this case in Thailand, it's not clear exactly how she was infected. She was on a tour group from Wuhan that was going to went to Thailand. None of the travel mates have tested positive, but she was lab confirmed. And she had a relatively mild case at the airport. Her temperature was 38 degrees centigrade, and she had some respiratory issues, but she did do well in the hospital. She's been hospitalized since the 8th, but even though she was positive when she arrived, the samples collected when she first arrived, she is pretty much recovered now, and discussion of her being discharged in the near term. So she didn't have a severe case, and other people with her didn't get infected. But that's how this virus and most viruses work. Their infectivity is very much dependent upon viral load. And so if the load isn't very high and it's kind of under control and the person's not that sick, it doesn't transmit that easily. But if people get very ill, then it does. And so it seems like most of the reports are saying that the fatality was in addition to 7 other critical cases. So the number of critical cases is relatively high. The official count on lab confirmed is now at 41, which includes these 8 cases, 7 that are critical, 1 that died. That's a high frequency for severe cases, that there's only 41 cases and 7 or 8 of them are critical or have died. It's likely that these sequences came from the more critical cases because these are taken from I assume patients that were intubated, and these are lung samples, fluids in the lung. It's likely that all of these sequences came from more severe cases. And the ages are informative. I mean, the two older cases, one is the one that was collected on the 24th, suggesting that person was probably the sickest. He was 65, and the one that died is 61. But the other 3 samples came from people that were between 32 and 49. So they're relatively young, but they're sick enough to probably be intubated and make it easier for them to actually collect samples that come directly from the fluids in the lung. So that's kind of where things stand right now. The outbreak is still in its early stages. In comparison to SARS really began in November. This one began in December. But things didn't really get in a kind of accelerated phase for SARS with regard to spread and deaths until the Metropole Hotel, the physician checked in like February 21st or so, and it really wasn't until March when these people left the Metropole Hotel and started infecting people in other countries like Canada or Singapore or Vietnam or Taiwan, that the numbers started to go up fairly dramatically. And like I said, all of these foreign cases had the same 29 nucleotide deletion. Some of the earlier cases in mainland China, including the civet cat, did not have the deletion. And there were some patients that actually had a different size deletion. So there was a fair amount of heterogeneity early on. The one at the Metropole Hotel, at least for the foreign cases, really stood out as a virus that was able to cause higher frequency of death. The final case fatality rate was just under 10%. And like I said, initially there were only 5 deaths out of 300, so it was just over, it's around 1.5%. So the case fatality rate was significantly higher for the overall outbreak, and that's due in part to the fact that patients that were infected in March and April died at a higher rate, and they tended to match the type of age distribution that's in the current outbreak, that the sicker patients ended up being those in their 50s and 60s. There weren't that many in their 70s. And the ones that were younger generally did recover. So the ones that were dying were the older, but not even over 65. They were mostly in their 50s and 60s, and some did have underlying conditions like the first fatality in this outbreak. So it's still early. We're doing this update because there was quite a bit of activity over the weekend. And we will probably be doing subsequent updates at a higher frequency because there's an anticipation that there will be fairly rapid developments. WHO has already issued a statement on the case from Thailand, and they are considering calling an emergency meeting. And this was one of the biggest concerns, that the virus was just an airline flight away. But the best example of the airline transmission was the tour group that went to Taiwan. And there were a few other examples of individuals on airplanes that were very symptomatic. And they were largely identified after the fact. So it was, the description was after they landed, they got sicker, they didn't really have airport screening at the time of their landing, and then they ended up going in a hospital. And when they found out that they were already symptomatic when they were flying, they went back and checked passengers that were on the airplane. And so there were others that were identified that way. But as far as identifying, like the case from Thailand, where it was just thermal screening of patients that were at the airport, finding a patient that actually tested positive. There were lots of patients that had symptoms or fevers, but very, very few that actually tested positive, like the patient in Thailand did. So it's still not clear how she got infected. She was in Wuhan, but there are a few reports of family clusters, excluding this person who is from Wuhan, all the other cases, at least based on official reports, all had some type of linkage to the wet market, including the fatal case. He was a frequent visitor at the wet market, and all the other confirmed cases, according to media reports anyway, either were vendors or were consumers who visited the marketplace. So there was a tie-in to that one wet market in Wuhan. But it's not been stated yet that this tourist that was positive in Thailand actually has a tie-in to the wet market. But it's very early. It was just announced overnight. And although she developed symptoms on the 8th, so they've known that she was a suspect case for several days now. And they really haven't said anything about what her exposure might have been. So that would be an update that will be worthy of discussing when it's announced. But to my knowledge, it has not been announced yet. So that's it for today, but I expect more interviews this week.
Okay, Dr. Nyman, thank you for the information. And listeners, as just a reminder, our website is recombinomics.co. We will be doing these more regularly as the situation unfolds. And everyone have a wonderful day.